You know, as I get older, I gotta have stuff closer to my eyeballs because I refuse to get reading glasses. Talk to my wife about that. It's kind of a contention in our family. So I want you guys to think about a couple of things through this message. I want you to understand that God's perfect. God's plan is perfect. God's plan for Jesus is perfect, and Jesus is perfect. And I'll connect all that through this. So who is God? We find one of the first cases in Genesis 2 where it says, this is the amount of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Now, most of our books say God here, right? But I'm going to translate back to the Hebrew, and we know this, right? It's called Yahweh. It's one of the very first times that we hear the word Yahweh. And what I'm going to tell you is, in our Western culture, we've done a little bit of wordsmithing to Yahweh, if you didn't know this. We added the A, and guess what? We added the E, right? In the Hebrew, and I attest not to be a Hebrew scholar, I don't attest to be a biblical scholar, but I really do appreciate the way this word actually is said, right? So you're ready to hear something that you probably haven't heard very many times in Scripture. This is how you say the word of God. It's a breath. Let that sink in. How many scriptures are popping in your head going, holy cow, that stuff ties together, right? So the first thing you do when you're born is what? You just call them God. You breathe 22,000 times a day. You call on God. My father passed away several years ago. He was a good man. His name was Rex Hart. And we're not sure why if he hit his head first and he had a stroke, or if he had a stroke and then hit his head. We just don't know. They put him on life support. His family gathered around him, and they took him off life support. And medicine is really interesting. They said, hey, here's how he's going to pass. Within 60 to 90 minutes, this is what's going to happen. And as his family sat around, my dad took in the largest breath I had ever heard a human being take in. And he expelled more air than I thought a human body could hold. So I don't care if you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist, an agnostic, or an atheist. The first and the last thing you do in this world is you call on the most holy God. God is perfect, y'all. God's plan is perfect. Lee Strobel, I don't know how many people know Lee Strobel, right? In 1979, he's sitting in his living room, and his wife walks in, and this is his story, not mine. And she says to him, I am now a Christian, I've been baptized, and I take on the veil of Christ. And Lee Strobel, at the time, had his law degree, he had his journalistic degree, he wrote for the Chicago Tribune. He didn't just write, he was the lead journalist for court reporting. And he decides then and there that he's going to put God on trial, and he's going to put Christ on trial, and he's going to prove without a doubt there is no such thing as God. And if there was a person named Jesus Christ, he was just a man. He was certainly not the Son of God. Okay? So he does this investigation. He reads the scriptures. He talks to biblical scholars. He talks to doctors. He talks to psychologists. He looks through the evidence of history. And lo and behold, long story short, he becomes a Christian. One of his illustrations, which tells you the plan of God is so perfect, and I forgot to bring it here this morning, but I'll tell you this. He says, hey, most biblical scholars will agree that there's about 8 prophecies, and I know there's much, much more, and we'll talk about that in a second. There are about 8 prophecies, and he goes to a biblical statistician, which I didn't even know existed, but he says, what's the odds that one person in this part of history, in this part of the world, this type of generation, fulfills these 8 prophecies? And the guy says, 1 in a billion. To give you a construct of that, right, If you win the lottery, right, you have a chance in 1 in 300 million, roughly. Okay, so, you know, 40 times that. And he still can't picture this, so he says, let me give you an illustration. He says, if you go to the great state of Texas, how many people from Texas? Right? It's big, right? It's the second biggest state in the union. It's about 280,000 square miles. If it was its own country, it'd be the 30th largest country in the world. So it's big, right? He says, if you take a silver dollar and you lay it across the great state of Texas, that's a lot of silver dollars, right? That ain't good enough. You got to bury them 2 feet deep in silver dollars. You mark one of them, you blindfold somebody in this audience, and you say, just start walking. And when you feel the hand of God, reach down somewhere in that 2 feet, grab one that's been marked. That's the chances that Jesus Christ fulfilled 8 prophecies. Okay? Most scholars believe there's actually 48. Most of them are found in Isaiah. Some believe there's over 400. I don't know the stats on 400, but the stats on 48 say it's 1/10 to the raised to the 487th power that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, Jesus is perfect. One of my greatest authors that I love to read, right, is C.S. Lewis, Clive Staple Lewis. He writes in Mere Christianity, and I'm going to read it for you. I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. We're talking about Jesus. That I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must never say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, kind of a weird thing, but okay, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. This is the man who is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. You cannot shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him the Lord our God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great moral teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. At the end of Jesus' life, he said, they asked him, who you are? What did he say? I am. Now, that really made them mad because they knew exactly what he was saying, right? They go all the way back to the Old Testament. They look at the burning bush, and Moses sitting there and says, who are you? And the bush says, I am who I am. So they knew he was claiming to be God, right? And that's why he died. So as we think about this time that we take of communion, let us remember that God's perfect, God's plan is perfect, the plan for Jesus Christ is perfect, and Christ is perfect. So let us choose not to claim for him to be a great teacher, a great person, a great prophet, or as last week we learned, a great rabbi. He is God. He never left that open for us to choose. Let us pray.